So a little bit about the scriptures, and then maybe we can share about the saints. So Jesus is calling out in the gospel the crowds for their insincerity. How often when we don't always want Christ to be who he is, and so we find loopholes, or we're skeptical about the way that he is, and say, oh, you should have been dancing to this song and crying to that one. John the Baptist was doing what you did, and he's possessed by a demon because he fasts and you don't fast, and you're a drunkard and a glutton. You know, just all these things, just looking for loopholes to excuse the challenge that Christ brings to our life. And we can do the same thing. Try to slide by with loopholes and not really be drawn into the reality of the radical life that Christ is expecting us to live as disciples. And then St. Paul talks about this beautiful teaching, so that you should know how to behave in the household of God, the church, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. We live in this divided Christianity where there are lots of loud voices telling us that the Bible is all that we need, that the Bible is a foundation for truth, the Bible's foundation of our faith, where the Bible itself says that the church is. And so this is a great passage to remember, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, or verse 16, that the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Because the church is the body of Christ, wedded intimately, perpetually, permanently to the head, which is Christ, who is the truth. So the church must be the truth as well. Why, as faithful sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, members of the one true church, we can have confidence in the church to lead us to heaven. Because the church is the foundation of the truth. Christ is the truth. The church leads us to Jesus. And so how great are the works we had in the responsorial psalm? That church is the greatest work, other than the person of Jesus and his passion. The founding, the establishment of the church is that great work of Jesus, one that we can give God praise for. But what Pope Benedict, but also what Pope Benedict would tell us is that the great work of God is the lives of the saints, and particularly the martyrs. What great work God has done in their lives. And even with one of my long homilies, there's not enough time to go to the great works that God did in Korea with these great saints. So you should become familiar with it. How Korea was a closed society, didn't allow very many foreigners into their country. And Buddhism was the main religion, and the philosophy of Confucius was the ruling philosophy. And so they were really dependent on a caste and a class system, specifically delineated, of the classes in society. And then there was the worship of the ancestors. So when the message of Christ came, we can see that there's a conflict between those two philosophies. But it was in the end of the 1500s, when the early Christian missionaries made their way to Korea. And because of this conflict with the philosophies and the reality of the message of Christ, those missionaries were dismissed and the walls of the country were closed. And people would only leave to go to Beijing once a year to pay their taxes. Other than that, they were closed in on themselves. But on an intellectual level, they would debate the tenets of Christianity, of Catholicism. It was an intellectual pursuit, not a movement of the heart or a conversion of souls. But the conversation took place. And 200 years later or so, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, A young man traveled with his father to Beijing and sought out a priest and was baptized and then brought things back, rosaries and crucifixes and other religious items to Korea, and they were clandestinely growing the faith. But the reason he did that is because he had heard about this Christian faith. So for over 200 years, the lay faithful in secret in Korea were keeping the ideals and the faith alive in the hearts of generation after generation after generation. So 200 years later, they were still hungry for Jesus, and this man found a priest, was baptized. And every year they would go back and beg the church in China to send a priest, and finally they did. And then the great work of evangelizing that island started. And many people were converting and many people were martyred because the government saw the threat of Christianity to their policies. Not much different than today, where there are active martyrdoms taking place throughout the world, but the soft martyrdom that we all face in this country when we try to be faithful to Christ and His church. But St. Andrew, the main named saint of these companions, was the first native-born Korean priest. He was baptized around the age of 15, and then he secretly went away to seminary and was ordained, and then came back. And only had about 1 year of ministry, but did great work of bringing the sacraments to the people and changing lives and saving souls. But he was captured. And you can read the accounts of the martyrdom. They're pretty gruesome. There was one young boy, 13 years old, whose flesh was torn so badly that when he was at trial, he was flicking the skin at the judge. There were women who were stripped naked and put into the cell with men. Just gruesome and horrific torture these people met. They're one of the saints in the group today apostatized. He gave up the faith because he was promised freedom. And so he left. But then he returned to the one true faith and was quickly martyred. And it's amazing stories of this church. Just a couple of hundred years ago, this was taking place. But the faith is alive there again today, or still today. Because 500 years ago, a missionary went and changed one person's lives and changed another person's lives and another person's life. This is the call that we all receive. As we stand on the truth of the faith, the life-changing truth given to us through Holy Mother Church, that we're called to go and share the faith. We're called to be willing to suffer, be called willing to die for Jesus, because He died for us. And He said, unless you're willing to take up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy of my disciple. He said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. Our culture today is so me-centered and so focused on myself and what's easy and comfortable for me. And when we try to speak up for the forgotten and the poor, we're quieted and we're pushed out. When we try to speak up for the truth about sexuality and marriage and the proper respect due to each other's bodies, were silenced and shut down. Not yet martyred, but are we that far away? And so these great saints of Korea should be great models and intercessors for us. That the great work that God did in their lives, if we're desirous and faithful, He can do the same work in ours, the same work in your life. So pray for that courage to die to this world so that in this world and in the next, you can live with Christ forever.